This is HPR episode 1974 entitled, Ubuntu Community Donations, Governance and Hardware. It is hosted by JWP and is about 27 minutes long. The summary is, I was feeling bad about how donations work with Ubuntu.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Good day, and welcome to this edition of Hacker Public Radio. My name is JWP, and I occasionally do podcasts here. Hey, what I'm hoping for is to talk a little bit about community, and I had been feeling bad ever since I read about Jonathan Riddell, who used to do the Kubuntu thing, not getting his donations from Canonical. You know, when you click the $5 and you know, you click flavor, you're supposed to get some money. Well, I was just concerned about this, and so I started doing some research about various things. So a little bit about about me. I started off using Slackware and OpenSUSE. I think back in the 90s, so 98, 99, and I used Slack for a really long time. And as I got into the netbook thing, and I ran into Canonical's distribution, and I started using it, and I really liked it. And it really worked, and it had everything on it, and it just worked. You know, and I was like, my God, finally something that I don't have to work with all the time, and I can just, you know, put on my computer and just work. And then Canonical started doing this thing called Unity, and then they put the X's in the wrong spot, and I just didn't get that anymore. It was just more of a pain, especially since at the time I was working with smaller monitors and netbooks and stuff, and that Unity desktop just takes up too much space when you're working. So I moved on to XFCE, and I've been using XFCE for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years now, ever since Canonical came up with this Unity idea. And I guess it's okay. I got a 27-inch monitor, and you know, I run the stable version or the LTS version of Ubuntu on my work machine. I do that via USB, and if something's not working right, I just use that to fix it. And it looks really good on my 27-inch monitor, but you know, performance-wise, it's just too much, and so I don't. But the base from Ubuntu uses Mint, and I use Mint XFCE now for pretty much everything that I do. And so I follow Canonical closely, and I even sell Canonical at work. So I do things for an enterprise hardware company, and I sell a lot of Ubuntu and SUSE licenses and RHEL licenses. And so it's just a very, very interesting, you know, how this donation thing worked and how I felt about it. So I had to research it, and I talked to briefly to Alan Pope at AugCamp about it, and I talked very briefly to Jonathan Riddell about it at FOSDAM this year, and I just felt bad, you know, and I felt really bad about how, you know, Ubuntu was managing their community, you know, something that I felt, you know, really emotionally involved with, because it's really the only thing besides Slackware that I've ever really been able to get to work year after year, day after day. And so this podcast is going to be about what I found out. So my distribution that I use with Canonical is Ubuntu. So I went to the Zubuntu site, and I said, well, and I looked at the donate, and it said some really interesting things. It says, the Zubuntu project is a team of contributors and not a formal organization. As a result, the project is unable to accept monetary donations. However, there are a few ways you can support us financially in an indirect manner. And then they say bounty source. So if you set up a bounty for an XFCE team, you can get Unix stickers. For Ubuntu, you can do HelloTux, buy products from there, and you get something, t-shirts. And it says you can donate on the contribution site at Canonical. The money going to community projects goes to a pool of money that members of a project can make requests to support Ubuntu. Okay. And lastly, they talk about donating your time. And so I was like, okay, so that's from the website, and let's see how it works with other folks. So the other one that I'm interested in is you can it's Mate, and they came out with you can do something this thing called Patreon and help the Mate community grow, and they have PayPal set up and commercial sponsorships set up and become a Bitcoin and all kinds of stuff. So Mate seems to have a little more, and they have a PayPal thing. So it says the funding for this campaign has three things. The fund Ubuntu Mate projects and bandwidth costs, fund full-time development, and support projects on Ubuntu Mate. Depends on. Partners will be rewarded with exclusive project news, updates, and directly we set up a number of payment options. So it doesn't talk about that they're a nonprofit, though. So I don't know, really. So I don't see anything that says they're a nonprofit. They use Patreon, and you can donate money to Mate, Ubuntu Mate, if you want to. Okay, and so I guess that's okay. I'm not really a big Mate guy, so I'm not gonna do that. But. That's how another flavor in Ubuntu does it. So I went to the Ubuntu site and I looked around, and it looks like that it's pretty much like this Ubuntu guy said. It so far it's set up that you give a donation and then you have to request it be an Ubuntu community member, and you have to request for funds, and then they do it. And so I got the report, interestingly, right exactly when all this trouble with Ubuntu or Kubuntu started. They stopped doing the report. So the last report is September 2015, and they haven't done a report since then. And they had done reports really, really obviously there. And they also don't get very much money. There's not much money, and it's $9,000 ending balance at September, so it's not a huge amount of money, and no, it looks like no flavor in this requested money it was given. So they have the last one had Ubuntu Myanmar events, AwCamp, which we all loved and liked, and so I don't see it. Most of it was, there was one equipment. Proprietary drivers, PPA, for a guy named Yurik Castro, and that seems fine. And there was some merchandise packs and stuff down on the bottom. So nothing from the report was given to the flavors. Okay, and so when I went to the download page to look and see there, now when I clicked the server just now and I clicked download the LTS version, it didn't offer on Firefox for me to donate it. I'd seen the donate thing before, but it doesn't seem to be there for the server thing. Let me try it for the workstation thing. Hold on just a sec. Okay, and yes, there are a bunch of donating things for the desktop. And they say your personal mobile computing, they give like you want for cloud computing, for Ubuntu things, for community projects. And I think this is I support loco teams, Ubucons, upstream projects, and all the good work. But it doesn't say anything about flavors. So I want to secure things powered by the internet. I want community, cloud, and I want there. And it doesn't, it gives you the option, not take me now, and then it tells you to put your money where your mouth is and stuff. And I guess that's okay, but it doesn't mention anything about giving any money to the flavors. So I don't see that there. So maybe that changed. I don't see anything about giving money to the flavors. I actually am a little put off by that. You know, no other place asked for money. So you go to Fedora and they don't do it. And so it's a little cheap, I think. I'm not for sure, though. So it goes on. And like I said, I didn't like the contribute thing. And I did like that they did say their total contribution is better than buying a King Kong versus a Godzilla DVD. So I went to the main page and I went down and I clicked about, and so that there appears to be some separations between Canonical, the corporation, and the governance, and the governance, and that there seems to be something called a Ubuntu Community Council, social structures, and community. Supervised by the Ubuntu Community Council, and then you click on that link that handles elections, board of directors. It's also responsible for the code of conduct, ensuring the council is also responsible for dispute resolution, and it should be required. For example, in the past, we've had to resolve conflicts between local teams and the Ubuntu forums, both very important parts of the community. The Community Council meets every 2 weeks on internet chat relay. You can propose an item for discussion on the Community Council agenda. Okay, and then there's the Ubuntu Technical Board. The Ubuntu Technical Board is responsible for the technical direction that Ubuntu takes. It makes decisions based on package selection, packaging policy, installation system processes, the kernel, the X server, liabilities and stuff, and the date and the agenda of the next meeting alternating with the Community Council, so you can propose an item. And so that's interesting. I don't know how that is. I may go to the Community Council meeting and just listen to that on IRC and see how that goes. So nothing nefarious or anything so far that grabbed me on the website. Still nothing about flavors and donations that I saw. So I don't know. Maybe they changed the website. Or I'm not sure what Jonathan was talking about, but it's not there, and they didn't do that. But they haven't published a report either. And let's be honest, the total donations that Canonical is getting is much, much lower than Mint is getting. And I think I read Mint got $16,000 last month, which is huge, huge, huge. $16,000, you can have full-time people and stuff working for you from a variety of places. So let's take a deep breath and a deep breath about this donation button that the Canonical guys are doing. Okay, so when you click on Ubuntu Community Council team, you see that, okay, so there's been some changes. 2015, 11:30, the first one. Looks like he's up from Brazil and he does core stuff. Mark Shuttleworth is on there. A guy named Michael Hall is on there. There's a new one. Svetlana Belkin. Let's click on that link and see. Okay. And it sees I'm only. So it is a. This Svetlana Belkin is only a. Ubuntu community member, not a developer. I use Ubuntu Linux to get away from Max Vinces, and I'm a biologist, and that will most likely do research and not develop games. He's been a Ubuntu user since 2009. So the idea that it's insider, I guess it's not so, because they have this biologist, Svetlana Belkin is on there, and he seems to be a normal human being just like me, and uses Ubuntu just fine on his own. Okay, and so I guess the governing council, I would have to like read the minutes or go there to see if it's useful or not useful, or how much power it has or what it doesn't have. I mean, there's another issue that I've long had with Canonical, and that is the issue of Ubuntu certified hardware. Now, I look high and far for Ubuntu certified laptops, and I buy them every time I see them. If I go into a store and I see an Ubuntu certified laptop, I buy it. And by Ubuntu certified, I mean it's got the sticker on it, or on there it says it's running Ubuntu, and it upsets me that Canonical doesn't OEM more of their stuff, doesn't push more of their stuff, that there's no way to order from an OEM, without a lot of money, something like the Acer 720 with just Ubuntu installed. I can install Ubuntu very quickly from the command line if I just have Ubuntu installed. And so it's upsetting. And, so then I heard that the Intel made a internet stick recently that had Ubuntu on it. And I was like, okay. And I looked at the specs, Atom processor, gigabyte of RAM, 8 gigabyte thing. And, what they didn't tell you about the stick is that they put the recovery images on the stick so that, the 1.4, 1.5 gigabytes of space on the stick is for these recovery images. And so then with this 1 gigabyte of RAM, somehow they set it up to where this thing is pushing 1 gigabyte out the door. And so you really have to redo everything to make it work. So I had to first kill the swap because there just wasn't enough memory. I had to kill the swap, and I had to get a 64 gigabyte micro SD, put a swap on there, set up all the stuff, and of course it was new because I used UID versus, the old way in the FSTAB, so I had to learn how to do all that. So there was a learning process, probably worth the money I paid for the stick in and of itself just to get it to work. But my God, Canonical, when somebody like, when a company like Intel is going to put your product and their stuff, why don't you check it to be sure it's not a pile of dog crap? Before I go and buy it because it's got Canonical in it, and it just makes me feel bad. I buy something that's Ubuntu certified or has the Ubuntu trademark on it, and it runs like dog crap. It's just very, very upsetting. All right, but if that's a little bit of a rant. So let's get back to the main subject. So how do other people do this? So how does, Fedora do this? So Fedora does it different. In just a second, I'll read you about how Fedora does it. So I went to the thing and asked Fedora, they ask about donations. And so the way that you do donations with Fedora is that you go to their store and you buy their stuff. Same thing with OpenSUSE. I used to think that OpenSUSE was a separate thing, and it used to be under OpenSUSE International, but I look now, and the same thing. If you're going to donate, you got to go buy their stuff in both places. And both places clearly put their relationship. Fedora says that it's sponsored by Red Hat, and the same thing with when you go to the OpenSUSE page. Now, and they don't do the donation thing, so this is something, the donation thing is just something that Canonical's doing. And since I sell all three in my professional life, it's really, really different. I'm pretty sure that Canonical is much smaller than SUSE or Red Hat in the big scheme of things, but I don't know. I think that the other guys are selling T-shirts and you're asking for money, so that doesn't really sit well with me. And let's compare it to Debian, how Debian does things. Now with SUSE, the difference between Fedora and SUSE was that SUSE takes donations of hardware, and they get some money from AMD. To sponsor them as well. At the bottom of the page, it has a list of OpenSUSE sponsors. Now, the Debian page. It's donations are managed by the Debian project leader. Okay, so that guy gets elected by the community, and I just came back from Fostown. They had a big thing about, you know, Ian Murdoch and how that works, and that's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive, and they have a bunch of ways. And they also just like OpenSUSE, you can donate hardware if that's your thing, and they have a bunch of different things. You can donate to Debian France, Debian CH. You can do equipment, time, or other, they have other organizations hold assets in Debian's name. So that's a clear thing. And they do something with software in the public interest as a tax exempt nonprofit corporation in the United States, funded by Debian people in 1997. So they are a nonprofit in the United States. So you know that if you're looking to give money and you want to give to a nonprofit, Debian seems to be the one place where you could really do your money and give there, because it is a nonprofit, and it's really set up that way. It's clearly, I checked it out, I clicked on the link, it's exactly that way. Now, whereas if you donate to Canonical, they can do whatever they want with it. They're a corporation. They don't have to abide by anything there. And, I mean, they have that report, and it looks above board, and they did help with Aug Camp a little bit there, and I was there at Aug Camp. I had a great time. So thank you, Canonical, for that. But I don't know. You know, that it's a lot of money, the $12,000, and, you know, for... something's not right there, and they need to make that crystal clear. And even though it said that they didn't want to donate to a flavor, I didn't see it. Jonathan Riddell said that something was there. I didn't see it. I didn't see any mention of the word flavor on the donate page. So I don't know. Sort of like a mountain out of a molehill, maybe. Still, I don't emotionally feel right about it. All right, let's moving on. So, in looking more at this Ubuntu Council thing, they delegate some of their things, IRC, forums. Kubuntu has a separate governing organization. If you click on the Ubuntu meeting, it's not a it says next meeting. So there is no scheduled meetings at the moment. Please fill in when a scheduled meeting. So they're not scheduling meetings. Are doing anything. It appears that that please read the how-to before adding yourself when you can make a request. So membership to this page, it says, it looks like somebody named Klaus Christensen added himself, but I'm not for sure how that works. It's not crystal clear. For sure, not a governance kind of way. In particular, the leadership of Kubuntu coming off from the Ubuntu Council, that's not clear. If you look at the page, it's just not enough information. So that really does it, I guess, you know. And so no, I'm not a fan of the donation page. The donations from the history, it didn't look like they were organized very well, the donations. The donations, if you look at it, what they did with the money, it was okay. Like I said, there was a donation for Aug Camp, and there were some other events that were fine, and some guys in Miramar got money, but it didn't look like they were really supporting, you know, something critical in the thing. Like if you wanted a full-time, if you wanted to, you know, to pay for a specific thing in Ubuntu, it didn't look like that was happening, and there was no mention of the flavors. I didn't see anything with flavor donation there, so that could have changed. That being said, no report has been published since this fiasco with the donations happened. So I'm very curious about when the next report will be published. There is an email address. I may email that lady and ask her you know, hey, it's been a while since the last report was published. Can you let us know when that is? So overall, you know, with Canonical and Community, I don't know, you know, it was a mixed thing. My research, you know, I was great to see that biologist on the board. It looked like that biologist was a real user of things, and that that was good. It was surprising that the community manager wasn't on the Ubuntu community boards. I was really surprised, and you know, and I've had a chance to meet, you know, all three of the big ones, the community guys from OpenSUSE, Fedora, and Canonical, and I have to say that each of the companies, they handle it extremely differently. I mean, in particular, Canonical handles it very differently than Fedora or OpenSUSE does. I mean, the presence at FOSDAM of Fedora was just utterly magnificent, and you know, you didn't see anyone from Canonical there at all. I mean, I was like really shocked that they weren't there and they weren't contributing and at FOSDAM. And then you have OpenSUSE, and they were there, not as big a player, but OpenSUSE does a lot of different kinds of events, and I went to a handball stadium where they play handball, more or less a workout gym last year in The Hague, and talked for 2 days or listened to talks for 2 days about what's going on in OpenSUSE, and so they manage it really different than Canonical does, and maybe Canonical does it in some of their locos, right? You go to a Canonical loco, and that's where you get your taste of community, and you look at all the geeky stuff that's going on with them in the big scheme of things. All right, hey guys, well, this is me, and again, this is my opinion. It's not my opinion in my work, because I sell a lot of OpenStack with Canonical, and it's a wonderful thing there doing that with them, and it's just that they're so small compared with the other guys that they play against. It makes them pretty unique, but in that OpenStack space where I work, they do a really good job, and it's well worth the support contract to get help from them. All right, guys, if you need anything or if you want to comment, it's jwp5@hotmail.com. You all guys have a nice day.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.